Hey everyone, welcome to another exciting episode of 7-Minute Scaling Secrets, where we interview entrepreneurs and learn a secret on how they scaled up their businesses. Today, we have a special guest, Evan Ong, who started Knots SG and is a virtual wedding planner. Evan, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit more. Why virtual wedding planner? What's the difference between a wedding planner and a virtual wedding planner? This episode was brought to you by Superscaling. Join the Superscaling Ignite program today and learn how you can systemize and superscale your business so that your revenues can grow to at least $100,000 a month with a productive team from all over the world, raving fans as clients, and happy founders who have true freedom. Visit superscaling.com/ignite today. And now, back to the episode.
Alvin, thanks for having me. So basically, you know, if you think about a wedding planner, you think about somebody who guides you through the entire wedding planning process. And through that process, they'll help you source for vendors, in some cases negotiate better pricing, and give you lots of like advice and insider tips along the way to make sure that your wedding goes smoothly. So for us at Knots, our mission has always been about helping customers make better decisions, save time, save money. So we call ourselves a virtual wedding planner because we are bringing a lot of that value add from a wedding planner and putting it all on a virtual platform. Biggest thing, of course, is it's free of charge because, you know, if you typically engage a wedding planner, it's going to cost you at least like $2,000 to $3,000.
Yeah. I'm not married, so I don't really know the industry, but that sounds pretty amazing. If that's the case, how do you guys make money?
We currently, our main model for Knots is we have partner pricing with a whole range of vendors, and that includes a whole range of venues, wedding venues in Singapore, as well as photographers, makeup artists, wedding gown boutiques, etc. So what we can do is, because of our relationship and the pricing that we've gotten from these partner vendors, we can put it all together in a one-stop package for our clients. They still save money and we still make money along the way.
Awesome. And like with all the wedding planners out there, why was this something that you felt was a business that you wanted to start?
So it goes back about, about 4 years to 2018. So at that time, my partner, who is now my wife, we were still dating back then, but she was at that age where a lot of her friends were getting married, you know, no pressure and all that. But, you know, the very common thing we heard from both our sets of friends is that wedding planning is very time-consuming, very tedious. And at the end of the day, the funny part is a lot of people were still not very happy with the decisions that they made. For example, they're like, oh, I regret not going for this, or I regret not researching more before I went with a particular vendor or something. So that got the wheels spinning in our heads, and we started thinking about, hey, is there a better way for us to address this market, help people make better decisions? And that's the origin of Knots, basically.
I love it. There are typically four main ways people start businesses. And that's what we usually say and tell our clients. One is passion, one is purpose, one is proficiency, and one is problem. So it looks like you are definitely coming from the problem angle, you know, solving problems that are out there in the market. And that's how Knots got started. But this industry that you got yourself into, it must be very saturated and competitive. How do you guys differentiate yourselves?
So I think there's two aspects to that. One is in terms of the vendor selection. So maybe we'll touch on that briefly first. Mm. Of course, you know, if you're just starting out your wedding planning journey, there's a whole range of choices that you can go with for your gown boutiques, your photographers, etc. So one of the things that we've done here at Knots is over the years, we've sort of curated our partner list. So you can be assured that basically the vendors that you choose through Knots have already been vetted. We stand by their service and the quality of their products and services, as well as their pricing, etc. So that's one thing. Second, in terms of like our own, how we operate as a business, there are several other wedding platforms in Singapore, of course. Yeah. What we see is they are mainly informational. They provide a whole range of lists and vendor info that people can use as like a research tool. For us, we've gone one step further. You know, coming back to the point of why we call ourselves a virtual wedding planner, is because we've already negotiated partner pricing. So through us, you basically get a better deal than if you were to go directly through all these to all these vendors yourself.
Nice. Well, this vetting process that you go through, how does that work? Do you actually go try and get the products and services from all these vendors?
Not exactly. Well, okay. I mean, of course, now that we have been through the wedding journey ourselves, we definitely did use some of our own partner vendors. But it's mainly a few things. We especially in the early days, we made it a point to meet every single partner vendor in person. Because basically, if we're standing by this particular company or brand, we need to make sure that they are good people, people that you feel comfortable working with. So of course that you need some in person just to touch base with them and get a feel of how they are in terms of face-to-face interaction. We also do our own due diligence in terms of looking up their online reviews, see what past and present customers have said about them. And along the way, there have been certain instances where we find that, hey, this particular partner, in terms of like their communication or in terms of their service delivery, is not up to the standards that we expect. And in those cases, we don't hesitate to just cut them out from our partner list. Because we need to make sure that if you're getting this partner through Knots, it has to be someone that's reliable.
I love that. This is like the customer centricity that Superscaling always talks about as well. Making sure that the customer and the problems that they solve and the value that they need are first and foremost of everything that we do as businesses. Well, tell us a little bit more. I'm very curious. There are regrets that you said that people typically face when they go through that whole wedding journey. What are some of these regrets that they typically face?
I mean, everyone talks about weddings being once in a lifetime, right? For a lot of people. So obviously, it's very different from most other things that you buy on a regular basis. You might be more familiar with it, but weddings, most people are coming into it very fresh. So I guess one thing that comes to mind immediately is on the topic of wedding photography. It's something that a lot of people think that, oh, it's just what's so complicated about it? It's a guy or a person with a camera taking photos. But with weddings, it's a whole different ball game because there's so many moments that need to be captured throughout the entire day. So if you don't have someone who's experienced, who knows how to position themselves in the right way and anticipate what's going to happen so that they are there to capture that moment and that shot, then you end up, losing a lot of the key memories from the day that you were supposed to capture. So this is, the first thing that comes to mind in terms of regret. People who go cheap on a photographer and, they just, yeah. At the end of the day, photos are one of the main tangible things that you take away from your wedding day. So it's something that we always advise our couples, don't go cheap on it.
Absolutely. I have heard of horror stories where the photographer finds out that the memory card is actually corrupted or lost and the whole day's memories are gone. And I think that's very tragic.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely right. We're just talking to somebody over the weekend who experienced that himself.
Oh my God.
And we have a blog post that's coming up probably later this month that addresses this thing. It's part of our series of educational pieces that go into why certain wedding services are so expensive, well, perceived to be expensive. And there's a lot of hidden costs for a wedding photographer. In order to ensure that your memory card doesn't, get that your photos don't go missing, they invest in backups and things like that. There's a whole range of equipment that you need to buy. So these are the costs that they incur. And indirectly you have to pay for it as well so that you ensure that you come away with a good set of photos.
I completely agree. Sometimes things are not expensive. It's actually based on the value that you get, right? And the value is in all these things that you've mentioned. It's not just this is the photo that was taken, here it is. It's really what goes behind the creation or the capturing of that photo, and all those backups, the equipment, the expertise, they cost money. Yep, so I absolutely love what you guys are doing. I think this really sets you and, you know, the vendors that you choose apart from the rest. And this is not just something that applies to the wedding industry, but I guess in all industries as well. The reputation, the skill sets, the professionalism that you bring to the table, especially for these once-in-a-lifetime events, I think they're absolutely crucial. Tell us a little bit more about your wedding journey. Was there any problem that you faced personally as you went through your wedding? Is that, again, why the reason not was created?
Not so much, but, you know, having gone through the journey ourselves, we know what are the pain points that a lot of couples will experience. I think for us, a lot of the challenges came in the form of people management. You know, our guests, our friends, our family, perhaps relatives who felt that they should have a little bit of input on what we were going to do. So I think we have had some articles as well in some blog posts in the past that we wrote about how to deal with this sort of issue, because, you know, it's really, especially in our Asian culture, right? They always say wedding's not about the couple, it's about the parents. So, you know, it's always a balance that needs to be struck.
Okay. You mentioned a few times that you have blog posts, and they seem very educational in nature. Is that one of your strategies of marketing? Is content marketing one of the strategies that you use in order to attract these people? Your customers mainly?
Yeah, in the beginning, in the early days of Knots, definitely it was. Because, you know, as we delved deeper into the industry, we found that there was I guess you could call it an information gap between what the wedding vendors understand and what couples need to understand, given that it's their first time planning a wedding. So we you know, put a lot of, my partner and I put in a lot of time and effort into writing a lot of these blog posts. And a lot of them are still relevant, so they're all still up on our website.
Nice. And in terms of marketing, how are you guys getting new customers? How are you attracting the customers that, you know, you want to serve? Is it through content marketing, or do you use other channels as well?
I think in the beginning, content marketing played a pretty big role. So for certain keywords, we were, and I think still are, in the first page of Google search results for certain things like wedding itineraries, Singapore, wedding planning checklists, you know, that sort of thing. But increasingly in the last 1 to 2 years, we've mainly relied on social media ads. You know, we tried everything over the last 3-4 years or so. We tried Google Ads, Facebook Ads, IG Ads, etc., etc. We found that IG gives us the most bang for buck, and my partner Anna is the one who has to take the credit for that. She's from a startup marketing background, so she knows the ins and outs of how to build a campaign and get good leads without blowing a huge ton of money on it.
So she's the advertising genius behind Knots.
Yeah.
Cool. Based on what you said, like the fact that you're actually very problem focused, the fact that you're customer centric, you must get a lot of customer referrals and customer reviews about your service, correct?
We do, actually. Yeah. There have been a lot of clients who, you know, they even to the extent that we built personal relationships with them, and they still message us sometimes on WhatsApp or on IG. And there have been others also who, after, you know, going through this whole process with us, they say that, hey, you know, there's so much interesting content provided by Knots, so many money-saving deals and all that, they'll definitely recommend it to their friends. So, of course, yeah, you know, word of mouth is, as we all know, is one of the most powerful forms of marketing. So that definitely helps.
How do you, word of mouth is definitely a valid marketing strategy, but how do you incorporate that into what you guys do at Knots? How do you, what percentage would you say are word of mouth customers, and, you know, how are you growing that angle in your business?
At this point, I'm not sure how to quantify it. I may not necessarily be the right person to ask as well. But for us, it's more of it's more of we keep to our core principles of helping couples save time, save money, and make better decisions. And that is the guiding principle, regardless of what we're doing, whether it's writing blog posts, whether it's having new partner promos, or even things like organizing wedding fairs, for example, with our partner venues. It's in terms of reaching customers, obviously, it's not weddings are, it's not something where you get recurring customers, generally speaking. Yeah, so we do rely, of course, as I mentioned earlier, things like IG ads to keep eyeballs and leads coming in. But it's just, I guess it's part of the whole integrated strategy.
Okay, cool. Well, you guys have done a great job. I mean, within a few years, you've been a presence in the wedding industry and you've grown knots to a sizable size, right? But where do you see knots going to? What's the future for knots, and where do you see that play out in, or how that plays out in the wedding industry?
Yeah, I mean, thanks for that. But I think, in terms of our journey, a couple of years ago was when Knots really started to take off, and we in fact vertically integrated. And so the background that you see, is actually a wedding venue that we operate and manage. It's called the Secret Patio at Duxton. So since we started this in September 2020, I think by now we have hosted close to 200 weddings and solemnizations here. I think definitely moving forward, we want to keep expanding the Knots brand in terms of other verticals that provide value, the same kind of value and quality to couples. Maybe more venues, maybe other services within the wedding market. We'll see. We're considering a whole range of different things.
Nice. I think the fact that you guys started off as the foundation of, like, wanting to always provide that value to your customers, probably sets you on the right path. And no matter what you do, and always having that in mind, creates it's gonna create continually create what your customer is looking out for. So yeah, I have full faith in you guys and the future of Knots. We're coming to the end of the podcast episode, and for every podcast episode, we have two questions for our guests. The first question is, what is the most important habit to be a successful entrepreneur? What would you say to that?
I mean, not to keep repeating this point, but it's really, the customer centricity that we've been talking about. I think it's so important to, especially in industry like weddings, you put yourself in the shoes of a couple who's getting married, and understand what are their pain points, what creates a good experience for them, and then that basically guides our decision-making process. So just now I mentioned about, even things like organizing wedding fairs for our partner venues. This is something that plays into that as well, because most people, when they think about wedding fairs that they may have attended in the past, it's like very chaotic. You get like people shoving flyers in your face, hey, lie, 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 and this is something that we consciously try to avoid at the wedding fairs that we organize. We tell our participating vendors that, hey, no talking allowed, stay at your booth. If people are genuinely interested to come and talk to you, they will go and take the initiative and talk to you. So, yeah, it's coming back to what makes the customer have a good experience, and I think that ties into generating positive word of mouth or good vibes, or everything that helps us build our brand to where we are today and and beyond in future.
I love the fact that you focus on removing the bad experiences. Like, even as a regular person that goes to a mall, like I'm not even in the market to get wedding photography, but sometimes I get approached by people who have a booth or a kiosk in a shopping mall, and they constantly like shove flyers in my face and ask me to like sit down for a consult, and I'm like, I'm not even in the market, right? So I can imagine how hassled people must feel. That wedding fest that you, the fair that you mentioned, how did it turn out? Like, you put in all these different like methods and supposedly a different way of doing business. Did that turn out well? How was the experience like for the exhibitors as well as the customers that were there?
Yeah, so this latest wedding fair was organized for Grand Copthorne Waterfront, which those of us at a certain age will remember as the hotel next to Zouk. I'm quite sure they're very glad that they no longer have to deal with a whole bunch of drunk people outside every night. Yeah, but basically we were brought in to organize a wedding fair because they are about to embark on a huge renovation of all their ballrooms. So we did it in the last weekend of August. It was a huge success, and everyone was really happy with the turnout. We got, I think, about 240 couples attending over 2 days. We had 38 participating vendors, and a lot of our participating vendors closed sales. Some of them, quite a few sales, throughout the weekend. And so yeah, it was. And this comes off a whole string of other wedding fairs that we've also organized, for example, at our own venue as well as for other partner venues. It's always the same principle.
I love it. So it goes to show that we don't need to resort to hard selling or to touting in order to get customers, in order to get sales. And you've shown that with the wedding fair that you have. And I think it results in a net positive experience for everybody involved, the vendor as well as the customer. So that just proves that business, that's how business should be viewed as.
Yeah, I mean, in an ideal world, your product or service should speak for itself, right?
Exactly. So the second question, what advice would you give another business owner?
I think this one, since I started on this journey, a lot of friends, colleagues, or ex-colleagues have come up to me and say, "Hey, I'm also thinking about starting something." And in some cases, they're like still in the process of looking for a good idea or looking for a good opportunity. So in general, my advice is really to know your industry. I think I firmly believe that there's opportunities that exist in every single industry out there. What it takes is really for you to deep dive into your industry of choice, understand the customer journey, understand what are the pain points, and from there you'll be able to identify business opportunities. For us, in the wedding market, in the beginning, we thought, oh we've got so many friends who've been through this process. We thought we knew it. But to the extent we do things like my partner, for example, worked quite a few weekends at a bridal boutique just to, get that hands-on experience. I personally know at least two people who have also, before thinking about taking the plunge into F&B, actually go and work, in F&B outlets just to get that hands-on experience. So I think that really helps a lot in helping you understand your industry and identifying opportunities.
Awesome. Yeah, I love that. Nothing beats real world experience. Nothing beats getting your feet wet and your hands dirty. Absolutely love it. Thank you so much for your time for this episode, Evan. Hey everyone, if you enjoyed this episode, please remember to like, comment, share, subscribe, and I look forward to catching you guys in the next episode of 7 Minutes Scaling Secret. Take care, everybody, and I'll see you soon.